And you know why I would have that kind of pride. Now, it's not a vain pride, but it's just I've had a good dad, and I think he is the best preacher that I have ever heard. And so for me to be Jim Boyd's son is really an honor for me. Let me begin this morning by just commending you. I mean, I am just so proud of what has happened here this morning. The way the worship has been conducted to this point is just beautiful. And maybe it's because we're so used to this, we sometimes might miss the beauty of what is occurring here. We've been led in spiritual songs. We've had a prayer. And you did something else here today that some places don't do very much or very well when they do it. But we had a scripture reading, and it wasn't just a verse or two, a lengthy scripture reading. I just think that is a wonderful thing that is done during the worship. And let me tell you a little bit about my idea of when I stand up to preach, what I am doing. You know what the song leader's doing when he stands up. He's leading a part of the worship, isn't he? He is leading you in the singing part of the worship. You know what the man leading the prayer is doing when he's up praying. He's not just saying a prayer. He's leading you in prayer. If you're thinking along with what he is praying and you're praying your prayer, then he is leading you in prayer. Now, if you're just listening to him pray, that's not you praying. So he's supposed to be leading you in prayer, and you pray as he prays, and he's suggesting the thoughts that you yourself would pray. And then in the reading of the scriptures, you're leading us in that honor that we give to God's word. And later we'll have some men lead us in the Lord's Supper. And it's my job right now to lead us in a study of that word. And I do that as an act of worship. Now, if you're just going to sit there and listen to me talk and sit and think, well, how good did the preacher do or something, or did he tell a good joke, or is that a nice story? So, that's not really worship. The way to worship during the sermon is to engage your mind in a reverent study of God's word. And this is how we honor God, by honoring his word. Someone says that, that Bill Boyd, he's a pretty good fella, but don't believe anything he tells you. I tell you, he hadn't honored me as if they don't pay attention to what I say. They're not really honoring me. We honor God by honoring his word, and this is part of our worship. So my job then is the preacher is not stand up here and say, boy, I've got you. I'm going to tell you what I think. That's not what a preacher ought to do. The preacher ought to lead us in the things that God has taught us in his word. That's what I'm going to attempt to do this morning. And in particular this morning, I'm going to complete a lesson I started during Sunday school, showing us that the Bible is the Word of God. We receive it from the Holy Spirit. That's how we got the Bible. Now let me show you kind of where we are. This is the second lesson on the Holy Spirit. I'm going to talk all week this week, or at least till Wednesday, about the Holy Spirit. You might think it's all week time I get through Wednesday, but I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of confusion about the Holy Spirit out there. We were talking about it some outside. It reminded me of something happened to me when I was in my professional career in Greensboro. There's a lady sitting outside my office in a desk, and another lady is up, and they were talking. They was kind of whispering to one another, and I walked out of the office as I passed. They said, Bill, come over here. Well, I walked over there. Said, we've got a question for you. And they knew I did some preaching, and I was involved in church and did Bible study and all. And they said this. They said, how can we tell when it's the Holy Spirit telling us something, or when it's just something we're thinking about? That was their question. I said, oh, I can help you there. So come into the office. So I turned around, went back in the office, and I had a Bible. And I pulled that Bible out, and I laid it open like this one. I said, look at all those words. You see that? I said, now, when you read that, that's what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And the rest of it is this stuff you're thinking. Well, they had a hard time accepting that as a final answer. But I said, other than that, there's no other way to tell. So you just read it in the Bible. He wrote it all down. You want to know what the Holy Spirit wants to tell you to do in your life? Read what he wrote in his book. I mean, he has sent you letter after letter after letter. And don't just sit there and say, well, I hadn't heard anything. Read your mail. You know, you've got all these letters. And read what the Holy Spirit has said, and it'll thoroughly furnish you into every good work once you know how to use it. Now, here's the three things I'm going to repeat in every lesson. If you don't remember anything else, Remember these three things. You might want to write it down. The Holy Spirit gave us the Word, and that's what I'm talking about this morning. The Holy Spirit confirmed the Word. We know this is the Word of the Holy Spirit because it is confirmed by miracles and signs and wonders which they that gave us this Word were able to perform. And I'm going to explain that tonight and show how that works. And then the Holy Spirit works through His Word. That's what I'll spend the next three lessons on. We'll talk about how the Holy Spirit reaches the heart of a sinner through His Word, and how the Holy Spirit works with a Christian through His Word as well, and transform that heart into the person that God wants that person to be. So there's the six lessons we'll have in the meeting. And now the Holy Spirit gave us the New Testament. We talked about how the Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. If you were here in Sunday school, you watched as we went through these 10 passages of Scripture, every one of them affirming that those men that spake in the Old Testament were the things the Holy Spirit spake through those men. Moses and Isaiah and Jeremiah and David and all it goes, the prophets, they spake as they were given the words to them by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just their own ideas and their own thoughts. It's the things the Spirit gave them to do it. Now, I want to show you how that works for the New Testament. The New Testament teaches that the New Testament came from the Holy Spirit also. And let's look at these scriptures that show that. I want to start John 14, 25 through 26. Jesus is speaking to His apostles, and He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, which my Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you." You know, all the way back when God was giving us His Word through Moses, He was warning that it's not for man to add to or take away from the things that God had said. But even unto Moses, He said, a prophet will come. There's going to be more information. Now, man can't put it there himself, but God's going to add to this information. We keep reading that. We read through David writing all the Psalms. But Nathan told David, there's going to be a king to sit on your throne to rule forever. There's more to come. Jeremiah talked about a new covenant. The prophets kept talking about things to happen. John the Baptist, he said, "Look, I baptize you with water. He that cometh after me is greater than I." And so he talked about more to come. And then we have Jesus Himself preaching. And Jesus Himself said that there's more to come, that the Holy Spirit's going to come, but He'll teach you all things. There wouldn't be any more to come after the Holy Spirit comes. It's going to all be revealed at that time. So that's a difference in what the Holy Spirit is doing and then what had been taking place up to that time. Now, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient to you that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come." Remember that? Look, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The Comforter will come. That's the Holy Ghost that's going to come. He will come unto you, but if I depart, I'll send Him to you. And when He has come, He'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness, of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now continuing on, He says this, "I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth." Now, no one had said that before. They had always said, there's more to come, there's more to come, there's more to come. Look for what's to come. And now Jesus says, when the Spirit comes, the Comforter, you're going to have it all. And there won't be more to come. He says He'll guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He'll show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore, said I, He shall take of mine and shall show it to you. Who's He talking to when He said that? He is talking to the very men that wrote the New Testament. And so that's what we have in the New Testament. The words that the Spirit was giving these men, and we've got all the truth there. Now, that's exactly what Jesus said that they would do. Matthew 10, 18 through 20 shows that when these men were going to speak, they were going to be speaking what they thought. Says, man, let me tell you what I think. You've heard people say that. That's not what they did. Ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. You know, when I get ready to speak, I think about what I'm going to say. Especially if I'm going to be on trial for my life, I think I'll give some attention to what I'm going to say. And then when I know what I want to say, I want to think about how am I going to say this. Now, because you can say things one way or another and leave a different impression. Even though you said the same thing, sometimes it's up to how you say it. But he said, you won't have to worry about what to say or how to say it. Well, why? Look. He said, ye shall speak. It'll be given you that same hour what ye shall speak. For it's not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh through you. And so that's the Holy Ghost speaking through these men that gave us the New Testament. Now, we see this come to pass. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to skip down to verse 8. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. Well, he'd been promising the Holy Ghost would come, didn't he? He said, wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence, and you'll receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me. So they're going to receive the Holy Ghost, and then they're going to be able to testify. Witness. They're going to say things. And it's because it's the things that the Holy Spirit had given, and they do it in all the world. Acts 2, 1 through 4, we see it happen. He said it'd be not many days hence. In Acts 1, you go to the very next chapter. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came the sound of a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire set on each of them. Now notice, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterances. You know what they were doing when they were speaking in other tongues? They were speaking in other languages. It was languages they had not even studied. It was not even their own language. Every now and then someone says, now I think God gave man the thought and man put it in his own words. Well, this wasn't their own words. It wasn't even their own language. It was the Holy Spirit giving them the words to speak. And they were able to do it in languages that they had never even studied. And so it wasn't them. Now notice, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and then began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. You're going to find that expression repeated over and over and over in the book of Acts. And I've got the passages down there where you find that. Every time it is used, it's either in the immediate context or the general context of men speaking as they are given things of the Holy Spirit to speak. Like Stephen, when he makes his speech before the Sanhedrin, and it says he was filled with the Holy Ghost and spake these things. It's the Holy Spirit giving them the words to speak. That's the first time it's used. And so being filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts is associated with being filled with a message the Holy Spirit is wanting to communicate to men, to other men, through those men. There were the words they weren't even to think about ahead of time on what or how to say, but the words that were given them of the Holy Spirit. Now, going from that, we see this take place. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 13. As it is written, I hath not seen nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him.
But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Man didn't figure out this whole gospel thing on his own somewhere, sitting out under a shade tree or staring off at a beautiful view or in a dark room with the lights out. But no, God revealed it unto them by the Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Listen, what are you thinking? You know, I hope you're thinking what I'm talking about, but you might not. You might be thinking about lunch. You might be thinking, boy, I hope that stays warm, you know, or man, I hope that cake doesn't fall or something. You might be thinking something entirely different. The only way I can know what you have in your spirit, in your thoughts of your spirit, are for you to reveal them to me. And the only way we can know what's in the heart of God is for him to reveal that to us. And that's what he's done. He said, it knoweth no man the things of God, but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit which is of God. So what does he say? We have received the Spirit which is of God. Do you see that? And that not the Spirit, that we might know the things freely given to us of God, which things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's exactly what Jesus said that they would do, and that's what they're doing. Now, the Holy Spirit gave us the test. 1 Corinthians 7, 39 through 40. Even when they gave their judgment, it was the judgment given them by the Spirit. You know, the Spirit gives us commands. And the Spirit also gives us advice. And we can take it or leave it. But this is my advice. I've done to that my children that way. Sometimes I've told my children things, buddy, and they better do what I say. But other times I've given them advice. And it's not that they would do wrong not to follow it, but it's what I thought would best. And the Spirit does that too in the Bible. Look here. The wife is bound by the law, long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she's at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she's happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also I have the Spirit of God. The advice he's giving them is for the present distress they were under. Look, right now, best thing for you to do is stay single. Now, it doesn't mean it's wrong to marry, but right now you'd be better off if you just stay single. Now that's my judgment, Paul said. Some of these translations will say, well, now that's my opinion. As though Paul says, well, listen, I'll just give you my opinion. But there's a difference in an opinion and a judgment. Everybody's entitled to their own opinion. It takes authority to render a judgment. And he says, I have the Spirit of God. The judgment Paul is rendering here in that situation, that for now you ought to remain single, is a judgment that was passed on to us by the Holy Spirit speaking through Paul. That's the Spirit's judgment. Look, Ephesians 3, 1 through 5. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, you were, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. Paul, how'd you know all these things that you're writing about in these epistles? It has been revealed to me. It says, I wrote it in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages is not made known to the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Spirit, just exactly what Jesus said the Spirit would do, guiding them into all truth and revealing this to them. And so when we read the book of Ephesians, we're reading the things that Paul told, that the Spirit told Paul to write to the church at Ephesus. 1 Thessalonians 4:8. He therefore that despiseth not man but God, who hath given unto us his Holy Spirit. You don't like what Paul says? Your problem's not with Paul. You've got a problem with God himself. Because the Spirit is giving Paul these things to say. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. I've heard people say,
You know, I think God's trying to tell me something. And they're not sure what it is, but maybe they can figure it out. And you never read in the New Testament or in the Bible where people walk around thinking God might be trying to tell them something. The Spirit spoke expressly. They knew when they were getting a message from the Holy Spirit. They knew those words were not their own words, but the words given them by the Holy Spirit. Whatever these people are doing, they're saying they think God's trying to tell me something, is something that is foreign to the New Testament. Because that's not how the Spirit speaks to man. In the New Testament, He spoke expressly. The Holy Spirit, 1 John 2, 20 through 21 and verse 27. Some interesting words here that aren't found throughout the Bible. One of them is the word unction. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. That's a strange word, unction. What does unction mean? I'm going to tell you. Go on. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. And no lies of the truth. But the anointing which ye have received of him abide in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Here's what the unction is. The unction is the anointing. There's no difference in those words. In the Greek, it is the same word. Why in the world? They tried to pick two words, and then this word unction, which is kind of a strange word, all it means is the anointing. What is the anointing? Well, when you read passages like that, remember what the New Testament is teaching us about how it was that they knew things. They have the unction, and so they knew the truth. And they didn't need someone to tell them again, because that anointing had taught them all things. All the things they needed to know, they knew because of that anointing. They knew because of that unction. So what is that? Well, what have we been talking about? When the Comforter comes, He will guide you into all truth. They had the Holy Spirit leading them into the truth. And there were false teachers coming into those churches. And John is saying, you can't listen to them. You already know the truth because you have received it from the Holy Spirit. And so it's in the New Testament context, in the New Testament times, when God is revealing His will to man through His Spirit, that's how they knew the truth that John is writing them to. They knew it because they had the Spirit, that unction, that anointing. And so the Holy Spirit's giving us the New Testament, isn't He? And then over and over and over again, we come to the book of Revelation. And it will say, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Every now and then people say, oh, I believe in the inspiration of the Bible. But, and then they almost act like they're putting you down. I mean, they almost act like they're ridiculing you. They say, I don't think God dictated it to man. And man just wrote down what God... Well, I don't know that that's how it all got there either. I don't know all the ways that it came about that we have the Bible. I know this. The first words of the Bible that were ever written was written by God's own finger in stone. Now, that's God's word. He wrote it with His own finger. Now later, Moses broke those Ten Commandments, remember, when he cast them down? And later he had Moses go up there and said, Moses, you got to write that again. And Moses wrote it. Now when Moses wrote it, it's just as much God's word as when God wrote it with His finger. And so there's different means by which God has given that word to us. But some of it is dictation. Because here in the book of Revelation, Christ, the angel is telling the words of Christ to the Apostle John, these things write. And then he dictates a letter. And it's not even a letter from John. It's a letter from Jesus to the seven churches of Asia. And all John has to do is write down what is dictated. So they tell me, well, I'm going to believe the Bible's dictated. Well, this part was dictated, and however we got the words of God,
Every word we have is just as much the word of God as those words on their stone written with his finger. What's the problem if you did happen to believe it was all dictated? The results is going to be the same. We have God's word. And it says we have it by what the Spirit said. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. So the Holy Spirit gave us the Old Testament. You learned that in Sunday school. Now you learn the Holy Spirit gave us the New Testament. Let me show you this. This impresses me. I don't know what it does to you. This impresses me. But let's look at this first before I get to that impressive part. This impresses me too. I jumped ahead. Look at this. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come to you. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets there. It said, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow unto whom it was revealed. Not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister. He's talking about the Old Testament prophets. How did they speak to us? It was the Spirit of Christ which was in them. And now he talks about the New Testament, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things angels desire to look into. Just like the Old Testament came to us from the Holy Spirit, so also the New Testament comes to us by the same Holy Spirit. And they're the words of God just as much the Old Testament is the Word of God. And so the Holy Spirit gave us the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And then it tells you what it's profitable for. Correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Someone says, boy, I want to get a message from the Holy Spirit. You know, well, what's the Holy Spirit going to tell you that you don't already have in your Bible? It's already given you everything you need that you can be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You don't need something else. You need to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit has told you. And it's given by inspiration. An interesting word. It has to do with breathing. Now, I think of breathing in, but it really means the breathing out. The inspiration of God. Some translation will have it, God breathed. I was sitting there teaching my little Sunday school class with a bunch of junior high boys the other Sunday, and I said, I want you to tell me your name without breathing. And they tried. You can't speak without breathing. You take a breath, and that breath comes up through your throat and hits this little voice box, you know, your larynx, and it vibrates these cords, and then it kind of makes a buzzy sound. And it comes up through your mouth, and you can take that sound and whap it around with your tongue and your jaws and your lips, and words come out. And that's how you speak. But you don't speak without breathing. How do we have the Bible? It's breathed by God. Just as surely as the words you are hearing right now come forth from my breath, so also these are the words that were given to us by the breath of God. Inspired of God. Interesting, that word breath. I looked that up in the Greek. I found out that's a word that could also be translated spirit. The word spirit, the word breath, the word spirit, the word wind. It's the same word. I contacted a Greek professor I knew that used to teach classical Greek at Washington University in the city of New Orleans. A very prestigious university when it comes to the classical languages. I asked him about that. I said, could this be translated? All Scripture is given by the Spirit of God? He said, yes. That would be another legitimate translation. Isn't that amazing? The Scripture is given to us by God's Spirit, coming forth to us from God's breath. Now, this is what impresses me. These are the scriptures we've referred to. There's 29.
We looked at 29 passages of Scripture. Some of them we just referenced, like in Revelation and Acts there, but there's 29 times where it tells us that the Holy Spirit is giving us the New Testament. You combine that with the 10 passages we studied in Sunday school, that means in the New Testament, we have almost 39. We've got 39. That's almost 40 passages of Scripture in the New Testament telling us that this is a book that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit. If ever you wonder about the Holy Spirit and what His work is, remember what the Bible tells you 40 times. The work of the Spirit is giving us the Word. Now, is there more to that work? Well, I'm not going to deny that, but I'm going to affirm this, that a big part of what the Holy Spirit's job has been down through the ages has been to make sure man has God's Word. And then I'll show you tonight how He not only gave the Word, He gave the evidence so that we could have no doubt. We know that this is the Spirit's Word. And so that's what we'll discuss this evening. The Holy Spirit confirmed the Word. And that's the lesson for this morning. When we gather together and the preacher stands up, Justin, when you stand up to preach, make sure you have it in your mind. And you all expect this out of him, that this is the time for Justin to lead us in the worship of God. And we're going to worship God by giving reverence toward His Word and bringing our minds that way. That's how we honor God. You dishonor His Word, you dishonor God. If you honor God, you're going to honor His Word. You can't separate those from the two. And so this is part of our worship, to do this. And then I want to extend an invitation. I tell you, you're not going to honor God's Word if you hear it and understand it and cast it aside. You've got to humble yourselves and obey it. You honor God by showing with your life that you believe His Word is the Word and you're going to live just like that Word says. That's how you honor God in this world. We want you to honor God. We don't want you honoring the devil and following his ways. Honor the Lord. And so hear what he says. And turn from every other way. And be baptized into Christ. And live in keeping with that word. And God is glorified by that. And if you haven't done that, boy, you're missing out on the reason you're even here. And so you need to come forward. I will sing this invitation song, confess his name to men, and we'll baptize you into Christ.